fourth down and a yard to go. Long count. They give it off. Bashawn Robinson hit in the backfield. He goes down. Kansas City holds on downs again. Nick Bolton scrapes to the outside and makes the hit. And Kansas City defensively holds on downs.
Chiefs Radio Network. Nick Bolton, who I think had a back injury a little bit earlier in the quarter, ends up coming up with a massive defensive play. Kansas City Chiefs maintain a perfect record of 3-0, Perloff, but this was like an escape. I don't know if the Chiefs had any business winning this game.
What are we doing here? This is the third escape in a row from the Chiefs. I mean, is this how you dominate in the NFL now? Just wait till the end of the game and hope for a mistake by either the officials, the other team, or something lucky? Because you have them three-peating, Maggie. I do not. I pick the Bengals. This formula of whatever it is, I don't even know what it is. Mahomes is okay, and then the defense wins the game in the last minute. It is just bizarre that they are 3-0 because, once again, last night, in the key moment, their opponent let themselves down, and the Falcons should have won that game and lost.
I always talk about this boogeyman aspect of the Chiefs, where you feel like you're not just playing against the guys who are on the field. You're playing against so much more, and in some cases, playing against the officials. Yeah. And I hate to be that person, but the Falcons absolutely got hosed on a no-call on their second-to-last drive of the game. I guess third-to-last drive. Second-to-last drive. 15-play drive, pardon me. They are just perfectly executing this drive, just milking the clock, you know, keeping Patrick Mahomes on the sideline. And then it's a throw to the back of the end zone where the Falcons defend a wide receiver gets mugged. Mugged.
Yep.
And they don't call it. And it should have been first and goal at the one. And all of a sudden, it's not, and you end up kicking the turning it over on downs, and it was just an abomination. And the worst part about that, Perloff, is that on the next Falcons drive, you could almost see the referees making up for it, and it's so frustrating as a fan. Just call the game. Don't call what you think Goodell wants. Don't call what you think the fans want. Just call the game.
They don't know. Did you say Adele?
I said what Goodell wants. Goodell was there.
I was trying to think. I'm like, Maggie, you have the wrong pop star. That's the NBA.
Was she even there? She wasn't there, right?
No.
I didn't see her.
Yes. Taylor. No, I don't think they were calling what Taylor Swift wants. Honestly, I just think that, if the Chiefs were throwing that ball, that obviously would have been pass interference. I think it was a function of, they didn't quite understand how Kirk Cousins was doing it last night. I don't either. The Falcons looked like they lost that game about six times.
Yeah.
Hung around, just like they did against the Eagles last week, and looked like they were going to get the W. Didn't make sense because, honestly, I think the Chiefs were the better team last night. But
Chiefs defense was good.
They have this thing where they're just sort of hanging around and chipping down the field. Their offense is good in what it is. It's a ball control offense. They're going to run whoever it is. Carson Steele did his best Isaiah Pacheco impersonation, and Patrick Mahomes is going to have 100 first downs. So that's who they are now. They're just like, we're going to get you in situations at the end. So the Chiefs did it, but man, this cannot last. I mean, are you nervous about your Chiefs at 3? They can't keep doing this.
I don't know. I kind of think they can. They did it basically last year to a Super Bowl.
And they did it the year before. They've won two incredibly close Super Bowls. And at a certain point, there's something called a luck variance that even analytics people talk about. At a certain point, the luck has to turn.
I don't think so. And look at what else is going on. Like, now you have Justin Herbert, who's injured in the division. The Raiders looked terrible yesterday. Denver gets a win, but they're not going to be a factor. And again, things are just breaking right for Kansas City.
Well, the AFC West is never, ever, ever going to threaten. Andy Reid's going to win that until he retires.
Totally. But you thought with Jim Harbaugh matched up with Justin Herbert.
You thought.
Well, I thought they were going to be a playoff team. I don't know now.
They might be a playoff team, but they're not a threat to the Chiefs.
Again, this is just more things that sort of break right for Kansas City. And I don't want to take everything away from them because they have this uncanny ability. Like, Rashee Rice was the guy all night, right? Rashee Rice was the guy, and then he goes out, and then it's just Juju. Then he's the guy. And then Isaiah Pacheco goes out. Now it's just this guy who Carson Steele, the most interesting about him is he's got a pet alligator.
It's pretty
Crocky J.
When you say the most interesting thing, it's the most interesting thing in the NFL. And the second most interesting thing, did you see in the highlights last night? His sister got married,
yes.
And they're watching the game on the big screen?
Yeah.
We have to talk about the etiquette of that when your brother's in the NFL and you have a wedding that day.
Well, they said that they booked the venue a year ago. They don't know he's going to be playing on Monday Night Football.
I still think that maybe you figure something out.
They don't even know he's going to make the NFL. Wasn't he like a seventh round pick? I mean, the odds that he actually was going to be available last night for his sister's wedding were way more likely than what we saw last night of him being a major factor for the 2-time defending champs.
Dude has an alligator home. Never bet against a guy with an alligator.
He started his career at Ball State. This was an unlikely story.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But still, it was just weird to me. The whole thing. That's the thing about last night's game and several key games from yesterday.
Yeah.
This season, like, weird stuff is happening. Games are very close because quarterbacks aren't good anymore. And that's what you're seeing. The too high safety that Mel Kiper hates. Again, the Chiefs can't just blow past people like they did in the Tyreek Hill era. They're going to have to win these close situational games. And I think it's a real slippery slope. I think at some point, luck has to turn, Maggie. This is where you and I disagree. Like, they cannot win this way every week.
No, I think they can. I think they are. I think they will continue to do that until further notice. And you're right. You know, you couldn't get really anything from Xavier Worthy last night. No big plays, no explosive plays. Mm-hmm. It's not an explosive offense. And the defense did a great job. I mean, listen, I know at the end, Atlanta put together two drives that you could have scored on either of those drives, and they didn't. But things turned in the second half when the Chiefs were making adjustments on defense. Let's adjust back here, Falcons. Like, this is the frustrating thing about the Falcons. On paper, you've got all these weapons at all times, and yet they can go very, very quiet. Again, there were two drives. They got hosed on one. Drake London gets mugged in the end zone. He absolutely should have gotten the pass. Pitts gets gets mugged in the end zone. But you did have another drive, and you did get into the red zone. You couldn't convert.
Yeah, I mean, you had 4th and inches, and you were afraid to sneak because your quarterback's on one leg. So that kind of hurts you. But their offense is not good right now, right? I mean, the Falcons, they don't scare anyone, I don't think.
Well, they should. I mean, they scared your Eagles last week.
Not really. I mean, they were
a final
dormant.
Drive. They were able to go down in 32 seconds,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, that was
score.
The only drive where they moved the ball at all.
That's
the
true.
Entire game. They just, Kirk Cousins didn't have a preseason, obviously, and you're kind of, I think you're seeing that a little bit. That again, the entire NFC South is sort of, took a step back this week. Now Atlanta looks like they could be back in that mix. I just think the story to me is about the Chiefs, just the finding ways to win like this.
It is amazing. 855-212-4227, but just absolutely terrible, terrible call. And there were a couple really bad ones. I thought yesterday, though, last night, if you were watching that game to the end, where the Chiefs end up escaping out of Atlanta with a 22-17 win, I thought what was so egregious about it, again, was the fact that it did seem like they were trying to make up for it on the next drive. It's like, that's how you know bad. And when the officials mess up like that, just throw the flag if you see something. And it's like they can't do it. It's like, well, you get this, like, it's like Kansas City blind, like, you know, and last week it was the absolute right call, but with the Bengals, it was definitely a penalty. They should call it. I didn't like how Cincinnati fans were crying all week about how the refs were out to screw them. Atlanta really is a case.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, pass interference is hard to call. After the Saints-Rams game in 18, I believe, they tried to review it for a year. It is, to me, the most messed up call in all of the NFL, except for maybe the inconsistency on holding. But it's hard to do that in real time. But I think this year, you know, scoring is way down.
Yep.
Well, maybe if you let people just destroy the wide receiver when the ball's in the air, that's going to happen. So I want to bet against the Chiefs next week, but they play the Chargers, and I assume Justin Herbert's not playing. That's going to be a tough one for the refs to make up for this. But at a certain point in a big game, they're going to make a call that will destroy the Chiefs, because that's what the NFL does.
No. The Chiefs are the only team that's immune to this. 855-212-4227. And again, they have this sort of boogeyman quality. And they're going to play the Chargers next week, and I doubt Justin Herbert's going to be in that game. And I don't know if Justin Herbert should have been in the game against the Steelers.
And even if he is, he can't move. So
he's going
to
be totally ineffective. Charge.
Yeah, the Chargers have one thing. They're just going to run it down your throat. So I assume Steve Spagnuolo, the Chiefs D coordinator, can adjust.
855-212-4227. Just one of the, you know, crazier outcomes that we saw yesterday. Well, not crazy because the Chiefs always end up winning these kinds of games, but it was pretty exciting down the stretch. I still don't know how a couple things happened yesterday, and I've gone back and watched them again. I still have no idea how San Francisco lost that game. I've watched it twice now.
I have some thoughts.
I mean, I think I know, but I still can't believe it. Like, my eyes and brain can't get on the same page with what we saw there. And I still can't believe that anyone is looking at the Cowboys and saying, wow, look how they came back at the end of the game, and saying that's a sign of anything good. You're getting your doors blown off you to get some garbage time, touchdowns and stuff, and it looked a little bit better. But that had more, I think, to do with the Ravens not being able to put their clamps down on the Cowboys than it had anything to do with the Cowboys. I can't imagine one Cowboy fan who's like, no, we got this now. We found something. You didn't. Gave up nearly 300 yards rushing. A week after you gave up nearly 200 yards rushing. It's not a good trend.
Yeah, the run defense was not fixed.
You don't
Jerry was all in. yeah. People are rightfully calling out Jerry. You should have signed Derrick Henry just so he didn't have to play against you in week 3. That was the critical mistake.
Yeah.
He keeps saying, and Jerry is saying this insane thing, I couldn't afford Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry costs $8 million. What the heck are you talking about? Yeah. You just gave $60 million a year to Dak Prescott.
And it took forever. And if you had given Prescott maybe some money earlier and restructured it, maybe you don't have all this dead cap and maybe you do have a little bit more room or whatever.
Great point.
Just saying.
It's almost as if things are a little unsteady there in Big D.
Yeah, and I'm curious also how the 49er fans are feeling this morning. You had that game. And it's a division game, too. And you didn't have a lot of players because of injury, but they had nobody because of injury. And you're leading the whole game. And you're on the road, but it's kind of like a home game because there's so many 49er fans who are in L.A. Just so many things about that game. Some odd outcomes. 855-212-4227. All right. You guys know the drill, especially on Mondays. We are going to try to get to everything. But if there's something you want to point out about your team's game, you got to call us. 855-212-4227. Again, I can show you the rundown. We have so many. We have everyone on the rundown. But if you want to make sure your team gets in to the show, give us a call. 855-212-4227. Also, we're live, baby. YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet, Twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork, on X at Maggie Gray, and of course, our incredible Infinity Sports Network affiliates who we love. The free Odyssey app, another great way to listen to the show. We get to you next. See you guys 49er fans calling. See you guys Dallas Cowboy fans. See you Chiefs fans. All of it and more next.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. All right, I have a theory on the Niners that I think is different than yours. I think we see this game a little differently.
How they lost this game to the Rams?
I will tell you, it's not even just how they lost the Rams, a bigger picture. What happened to that defense? Like, where, you know, now they're, looks like they're going to consistently be a top five offense. I mean, Brock Purdy can play. There's no doubt about it. They can still run the ball without Christian McCaffrey. But I remember the year that the Niners went to Philadelphia in the NFC title game, that defense was terrifying. They are harmless to opposing quarterbacks right now. And I know they have a new defensive coordinator. People are playing Steve Wilks. Man, they should have kept Steve Wilks because they're even worse this year. They are completely non-threatening, and they couldn't close out. That was a perfect close out the game situation for an aggressive defense. And then they really just were outmanned in the fourth quarter. So I think, yes, the offense should have put it away three ways to Sunday, but still, I think their defense is not scary anymore. I don't think anyone's scared of them.
Well, I think you're right, which is funny because I'm seeing the names on the back of the jerseys. I'm seeing Bosa. I'm seeing Hargrave. I'm seeing Fred Warner. I'm seeing all these Hufanga's back. I'm seeing all the names. I'm like, this is all the people who I would have been terrified of, and yet I'm watching a Rams team where basically everyone in the world knows it's going to Kyron Williams, and all of a sudden you're in the goal line basically, and the C's part for him. Like, that's the easiest touchdown, the game-tying touchdown that the Rams scored against the 49ers will be the easiest touchdown that Kyron Williams scores all year.
What about the fact that Tutu Atwell torched them along too, because there was no pass rush on Stafford at the end of the game? I think that's a bigger problem. The Niners, that loss and having all those injuries is a big problem, but the fact that they don't, they're really now an offensive-heavy team. It's weird to me.
And they were missing, obviously, a lot of pieces. 855-212-4227. Leland's in San Francisco. Leland, we know you a little bit by now. I imagine you're not happy today.
Yeah, good morning, Maggie and Perloff. And Perloff, I agree with you. I'm not happy. last year, you know, they had Steve Wilkes and the coverage on pass. He had it dialed in. Maybe not so much on the run game. And if they would have kept him, I think they could have grown and improved. Mm. But what they do, they took it personal, and Kyle Shanahan fired him right at the right after the Super Bowl. Wilkes was out of there. And Nick Sorensen, he's like a deer in the headlights. He doesn't know what he's doing. You know, L.A. didn't do very good their first two possessions. And then after that, they scored all of their 27 points throughout the game. Nick Sorensen couldn't make one good adjustment. So I think the problem's with him.
Yeah, I mean, what about sort of the game management things at the end? The missed field goal, the drop pass by Ronnie Bell. I hate to rub it in, but how frustrating was that, Leland?
Oh, it's totally frustrating because, you know, you see the game slipping away. You know, once they started getting hope after the fake punt,
yeah,
the whole momentum of the game changed, and I just saw the game just slipping out of the 49ers' hands. And the worst thing is, they did it to themselves.
Yeah, and Leland, it was a tough one. Let's hear a little bit of sound. And good luck. At least the 49ers have the Patriots next week, and they look like they're not going to be very good. All right, let's get to first. I'm sorry, Ryan, can I hear some actually Nick Bosa first? The cut one wants to feel this loss, doesn't want to just turn the page. They want to let this sink in a little.
I think we have to feel the loss for sure. We can't just move on and act like it's fine. You feel the loss and you just start stacking week by week.
Okay, cool. Nick Bosa acknowledging the Niners are in a hole now.
There's this kid out there that's
making excuses for any loss, but yeah, we're in a hole now, so we got to dig it out.
I'm sorry.
There's this kid out there that does an impersonation of a Nick Bosa halftime speech, which is the funniest thing. He's like, guys, big game. We're going to have to really go out there and kill him. I mean, the dude is, Joey's like that too, but Nick is the worst. He's literally the least inspiring speaker in the history of the NFL. You know, we got to feel this one, Meg.
Yeah, doesn't make me want to run through a wall, but he's amazing. It's just yesterday I'm watching him, you know, and at times when they just needed to get some pressure on Matthew Stafford, when the Rams have injuries all across the offensive line and they just really couldn't get home when they needed to.
I actually haven't broken down the all 22. I'm sure they had seven guys on both because there's no one.
Probably.
I mean, they are harmless other than him.
True. Okay, so a lot of 49er fans are a little upset because despite all of the injuries on offense, they still didn't think a wide receiver by the name of Ronnie Bell, who's like basically the fifth guy on the depth chart, should not have been in such a big situation where essentially a drop where he kind of was like double covered, sort of, where he was in a position to kind of like make or break a very, very big 49ers drive. So here's Kyle Shanahan agreeing with a reporter that Ronnie Bell should have made the catch and said it was a key drop.
Yeah, anybody does. There's other catches in the game that, you know, you want people to make, but and you hope it doesn't have to come down to that. But, you know, Ronnie will say the same thing. He needs to make that catch, but if he doesn't, then you'd like to be able to overcome it. And you can overcome it in other ways, but we didn't.
Okay, so a lot of 49er fans who really watched this team closely were just so upset that Ronnie Bell was even in the game, part of the game plan during that crucial time. Here's Shanahan defending it.
I mean, there's five in a game. We're rotating a lot of guys in there, and he was the guy out there. You know, Chris Conley got that earlier in the game, but you know, those three receivers we have up, Ronnie's been having a hell of a camp, had a hell of a week of practicing, but he's got to come down with a catch.
Yeah, I mean, tough, right? Because you're down so many offensive players, but if you listen closely to people who watch every snap of the 49ers, Perloff, they would say he didn't really have a great camp, he hasn't really been impressive, and he should not have been put in that position to try to make a play when he's just someone who's not capable of coming through like that, never has for the 49ers, and most people think never will.
Oh, yeah, but don't you chalk that up to injuries? I mean, that's... I understand, like, I'm not sure why, if fans are upset, you can see all your skill players going down left and right. That's the thing. I mean, the Niners are desperately beat up here. I think if you have a 3-touchdown game from Juwan Jennings, usually you're going to win that game in San Francisco.
And he looked amazing.
He looked like Randy Moss.
I know.
I'm not sure that putting it all on Bell is fair. And by the way, I was told, I did not hear that Shanahan sound, that Shanahan threw Bell under the bus. That wasn't a throw under the bus. He said Ronnie would say the same thing. I thought that was a mild maybe. Maybe shoved him a little bit towards the bus. I don't think he threw him. Would you guys think Shanahan was throwing Ronnie Bell under the bus?
Definitely.
Why?
Definitely. Because, I mean, we've seen every coach in the NFL, maybe in NFL history, literally has been asked the question about what happens with a guy who has a bad drop. You always say, well, it doesn't come down to one play. We had plenty of opportunities to win, and we didn't. And Kyle Shanahan, who once again blew another double-digit lead against the Rams in SoFi, instead of putting any accountability on himself, goes, yeah, the receiver's got to catch the ball. You guys are right. Thank you for that.
Well, I mean, we only heard part of the press conference. You're saying that one quote, I don't think that was a total throw in the bus. He's like, Ronnie's had a great camp. Like, I don't know. I came away from that being like, oh, he kind of likes Ronnie.
He says Ronnie had a great camp because he wants to defend his own ass for putting him out there on the field. He's like, well, hey, the guy was playing great in camp. Yeah. How was I supposed to know he's going to drop the ball, even though he drops the ball every game I put him in? Like, it was a lot of self-preservation I heard from Kyle Shanahan.
I don't know. I've seen worse throwing under the buses.
Well, yeah, I mean, if that's the bar. Quickly, before we get to Bogus's update, Travis is in Fort Worth. We started the game off with this, talking about last night's Chiefs win against the Falcons. Travis, you think the Chiefs slander, they did get a little help from the refs last night. I think even anyone would have to admit that. But they won the game. You think the slander's gotten out of control?
100% the slander's gotten out of control. Even in last night's game, nobody wants to talk about the roughing the passer call on Chris Jones when he's getting held by two guys and hands to the face by their offensive linemen, which led to a Falcons field goal. Everybody wants to talk about how the Chiefs are getting the refs' favor in all these games. They were the sixth most penalized team last year. They get more penalties called against their own cornerbacks for receivers committing pass interference against them. It happened to Trent McDuffie 2 weeks in a row. Last week against the Bengals, Jamar Chase drags him down, and then McDuffie gets called for PI, and then again today. Sure, the Falcons would have scored a touchdown, and it was a missed call.
Right.
But we act like it's not Patrick Mahomes that's going to get the ball back, and then they're not going to drive the ball down and win the game with a field goal or a touchdown.
Oh, that's a fact. Well, Mahomes definitely would have won that game. I agree with you on that.
Well, maybe, but they also went 3-and-out as soon as they got the ball back.
Yeah, because they were leading. Mahomes, when he's behind, is unstoppable. He's 100% in that situation.
Yeah, okay. I mean, again, Travis, I'm just saying there's a boogeyman aspect to the Chiefs. Perloff's asking if this is sustainable, and I'm saying yes. Yeah. I don't know if you think so, but playing this way got him to the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah, Travis, let me ask you that. Don't they need to get up a little bit, and don't they need to win a game by 14 points at some point, or can they keep doing this?
No, I definitely think that they need to step it up. But last year, it was the Christmas game against the Raiders that they lost, and that was their wake-up call. And then you really saw the boogeyman of the Chiefs wake up and start beating teams by double-digit points.
Yeah, I mean, you're winning games where Travis Kelce is basically a rumor in that game. He had one big catch in the second half, but that was about it.
Well, this is the same formula from last year. They didn't use Kelce at all until the playoffs.
Yeah, you're right.
So like, they're not even throwing to Kelce.
Travis, thank you so much for the call. Quickly, Ron is in Dallas, not happy this morning. The Cowboys, well, too little, too late, Ron. How'd you feel about the team?
This is Rodeo Ron calling from Dallas, Texas. And let me tell you, Jerry Jones, let me tell you what you need to do this morning. You need to fire your son. You need to fire Mike McCarthy. You need to fire that old Zimmerman guy to make Al Harris the coach. And let's go, because fire yourself afterwards. Because you suck, Jerry Jones. And remember, if you're not listening to 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, Texas, drink a Jim Beam at 5 o'clock.
So I was with him, Rodeo Ron. I think that's an Odyssey station, so we're good.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're good. I wouldn't let him keep going if we weren't on The Fan in Dallas, which we do love. And that's where Jerry Jones does his weekly interviews.
Yeah.
Love Sean and RJ. But here's the thing. Jerry's not going to fire himself, but I get why everyone's ticked off.
But he can't fire his son either. Let's be clear about that. Steven is not getting fired. Steven might be the best guy in that building for all we know.
Yeah, I don't know how much he's to blame for any of this stuff. I just don't want Cowboy fans saying, oh, we looked good in the fourth quarter. This is something to build on. I don't see it that way. Mm. You know, I don't. I don't see. I think I saw a team that was lucky to recover an onside kick. And I thought I saw more of a Baltimore Ravens team that doesn't realize that they've got to play a whole 60 minutes of football. The game doesn't stop after about, I don't know, 45 minutes. And so to me, this was fool's gold for Dallas if you think they've turned anything around.
I like his idea of putting Al Harrison as the head coach because that dude looks like he could get in there and stop the run. Because right now, nobody in a Cowboys uniform can stop the run.
Looks like he'd still play.
Is there a more obvious cliche than we came into season saying the Cowboys look good, except they probably can't stop the run. And now they can't stop the run. Like, what were they doing in the offseason, Maggie? What were they doing for 6 months when they were supposed to be all in? Why didn't they sign a bunch of big fat guys to stop the run?
Well, the funny part is that they kept talking about how devastating the Packers loss was. And it led to so many decisions, not extending Mike McCarthy, all this stuff. And yet, did you actually watch the tape? Because you didn't fix one thing from that loss to the Packers in the playoffs. They ran it down your throat, and everyone has since.
Yeah.
Just the inept Cleveland Browns couldn't take advantage. And Cleveland may suck. And so now you gave up 200 rushing yards basically last week against the Saints and almost 300 yesterday.
Yeah. Real quick, what was your impression of Tom Brady yesterday calling that game? Because I did not, I'll be honest, like there were other games until the very end. Like I don't need to watch this. It seemed like a blowout.
He's getting better.
Yeah.
I mean, it's now been three Cowboys games that he's called, right?
But he doesn't really stand out in any way to me. He could be one of the other guys on another game.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I guess like maybe it's a little fatigue just from doing all the Cowboys games. He was critical of Dak when Dak like basically literally dropped the ball in the pocket.
He did have one of the worst calls of the weekend.
Who?
Tom Brady.
Yeah, when Lamar Jackson runs for his touchdown, he's like, you know how fast Lamar Jackson is? Fast.
Technically. Like, spot on. The lie, EJ.
No, but come on, Tom.
Spot the lie.
It's Magic Johnson's Twitter feed. Come to life.
Especially fast compared to Tom Brady.
Honestly, the Ravens do look so fast. So I guess.
It was the pause. The pause, like you're waiting for a great line. Like he's going to say something.
Is Tom Brady really a wordsmith?
We are clearly learning no.
There'd be like at the end when the Cowboys made that rally, there'd be a 20-yard passing. All he'd say would be like, "There you go, Dak."
Yeah.
There was one point in the game too where he confirmed like a cliche. I forgot what it was. Maybe like, "Oh, you gotta convert on third down." He's like, "I know saying you gotta convert on third down is a cliche, but you gotta convert on these rides." I'm like, "Come on, don't say it's a cliche and then repeat it. Like, if you're gonna say it's a cliche, maybe give a remix to it or say something different."
EJ, you're asking way too much right now.
I know. I want him to be good. It's crazy. I'm a Jets fan who actually wants Tom Brady to be good. And
I don't see it.
It's getting late. It's getting later.
He's fine. He's fine. Nobody. It's totally fine. Did it ruin your Sunday in any way? I think he's going to be fine in the Super Bowl. First of all, even when Jason Witten was in the booth, he was one of the worst I've ever seen. The game was still super entertaining. I think Tom Brady's just totally fine. He's going to be. Is it his Super Bowl this year?
Yep.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to take away from the Super Bowl in any way, and he'll be much better. I don't think you need him to be John Gruden yelling at Why Spider 2 Banana all game long.
Yeah, by the way, we got another Spider 2 Why Banana on Friday night at the Nebraska game. I was like, wow, I can't believe we're going to do this again.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Gruden now has a YouTube channel that is the most bizarre YouTube channel on all of YouTube.
That's saying something.
If you have not seen this John Gruden right now, apparently he's completely lost his mind. But yeah, I don't think you need that from Brady. He sounds like every other guy, which is fine.
Andrew Bogish is here with headlines. Good luck fitting all of this into an update.
Good morning, everybody. Your headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, your furry friends with life, electronic device, and pet health insurance. The Chiefs did what the Eagles could not back on Monday night. Stopped the Falcons in the final minutes. Two late fourth down denials on Sunday Night Football for that 22-17 win in Atlanta. As for those Eagles, this time, they did close the deal in New Orleans.
Carr steps up, hit as he fires the football, and it is intercepted! It is intercepted by Reed Blankenship! It's intercepted by Reed Blankenship, and the Eagles are going to pull off the upset.
Merrill Reese on Eagles Radio, the INT coming with 48 seconds left, just 13 seconds after Saquon Barkley's go-ahead 4-yard TD run and 2-point conversion. Philly stealing a 15-12 win despite two turnovers from Jalen Hurts, a missed field goal, and two fourth down miscues. Nick Sirianni might not be a good head coach, but he can philosophize.
You get better from your work, and you get better from your experiences. And sometimes losing, you grow a little bit more from that. Not that you want to do it, but you grow a little bit more from that. And these guys got better this week.
The Saints scored just 12 points yesterday at 200.
That's fine. Come on, Bogus. I think you were setting us up for something really stupid out of Sirianni. That was for him. That was a perfectly fine sound.
Wait, what were you just saying about Kyle Shanahan, about CYA? Sirianni. No, that loss was good last week. That was good. That's exactly what we needed.
That's adversity. I mean, we were just saying, somebody just called in. Last year, the Chiefs lost to the Raiders, woke them up, and they started to play well. That's what the Eagles needed, to blow that game against the Falcons. Now they're going to rally and go on a run.
You believe that?
You're back on the bandwagon?
Nah, not even a little bit. I applied for Nick Sirianni's self-help course on YouTube.
I applied for this job. I don't know. You might get it.
That's a perfectly normal coach thing to say. We rally because we lose. A lot of coaches say that. Like, lose, they turn a loss into a win. And they did find a way to win. And the only thing that was unsatisfying as an Eagles fan yesterday, if the Giants had lost and Saquon Barkley had done what he did, I could have walked in here wearing all green and just rubbed it in Giants' faces forever. Because you got to admit, watching Saquon has to be a little tough for Giants fans.
Yeah, I mean, he's amazing until he drops the third down. Three.
Oh, I know. I had given up on him last week. I already forgot about that. Oh, I totally. That's ancient history.
He also quote tweeted the Giants post about like Malik Nabers' great game. And he was like, yeah, go Brody, go that. And everybody in the comments was hating on him for like, why are you still talking about the Giants?
Oh, Saquon did that?
He quote tweeted a post about Malik Nabers.
Well, he was never teammates with.
And he like gassed him up and supported him. Everybody's like, why are you doing this?
I think that Saquon's leaving the door open to still be like a quote-unquote Giants legend.
I think he feels bad
about the whole Tiki Barber back and forth when Tiki said, you're dead to us, and then Saquon tweeted something and then
deep down, I think he still wants to be a Giant.
I do, too. And I think he's kind of keeping his options open. It's like, I can be a legend in Philly, and I can be a legend in New York, and I can sort of, you know, there's a lot of years left after you play football.
He looks pretty happy in Philadelphia right now. I mean, the way it's going. I don't know why that long touchdown, Marshawn Lattimore just ran alongside of him for 40 yards instead of tackling. That was one of the most bizarre plays I've ever seen in my entire life. There were about eight Saints who had an angle on him. I guess he must be shorter than you think. These guys just can't grab him. I don't know what's going on with him.
He's good. I told you this from the beginning. You're going to love him. I know the drop is
I'll be honest. I whiffed on that one. I did not think he was that good.
Meanwhile, now what do we do with the Saints? We'll get more into that. This was this vaunted Saints offense. And I believe I got a little flack for saying that they were fool's gold. But
I'm not done on the Saints. I can't quit Derek Carr. give up on Derek Carr.
We got a 12-step program for that.
Yeah, you give up on Derek Carr, and then he'll pull out a 375-yard game against some weird team.
This is actually an intervention for Perla. You need to quit Derek Carr. It's killing you.
Derek Carr? Wait, what's wrong with Derek Carr?
I'm just joking.
Yeah, anyway.
Did you see, though, the tweet? I think Bridget Condon, I don't know if she works for ESPN or NFL Network, but she was covering that game, and she said you could hear CJ Gardner-Johnson yelling from the Eagles locker room, They're pretenders. Yeah. I told you, they've got Derek Carr.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Is that the same C.J. Gardner-Johnson who whiffed on a key tackle against the Falcons and lost the game single-handedly last week?
Same guy, yeah.
The ghost of C.J. Gardner-Johnson? Yeah, he gave an amazing 9-minute rant in the locker room. Let's see you tackle somebody.
Doesn't mean he's wrong about Derek Carr.
That was a bad interception by Carr. We'll get more into that game. What else do you have?
This didn't make any sense. The winless Broncos going to Tampa Bay and beating the unbeaten Bucks.
Play fake. Knicks rolls to his right. Run it, Bo, to the 5, to the goal line. Touchdown, Denver.
Dave Logan, Broncos radio, Bo Nix listening. A short rushing touchdown in his first career win, 26-7. The Denver D had a takeaway and a fourth down stop in the fourth to stop any Tampa rally.
What was that game, by the way? I'm sorry. Like, we haven't even talked about that one. What on earth happened to Tampa Bay?
I think finally, well, it depends what happens tonight with the Commanders. I may finally have a rookie quarterback break my list of top five rookies of the week.
Oh, Bo Nix,
possible.
But actually, I don't think that was Bo Nix. I think that was Michael Vick last night. Why did Bo Nix become the fastest player on? It was Auburn Bo Nix. He was running like a mad. He's so fast. It is bizarre. You're right. It's kind of been thin on the wire, isn't it? But we get our guy Jaden Daniels.
That's what I'm saying. We get him tonight against the Bengals. But Caleb was bad yesterday, and everything. Anyway, step on your update.
The Philadelphia Phillies did not win the NL East last night, losing 2-1 at the Mets. New York takes 3 of 4 in this series. They are again tied with Arizona for the last two NL wild cards, with the Braves still 2 games behind them. The Cincinnati Reds have fired manager David Bell with 5 games left. They're five games under 500 in a season that began with playoff expectations. Asia Wilson won her third WNBA MVP yesterday, then scored 21 points, blocked five shots. Her Aces took game one from the Storm, 78-67. Wilson is the second unanimous MVP ever and the fourth in league history to win it three times overall.
Caitlin. Wait, hold on one sec. Oh, I'm sorry. You're going to do Caitlin?
Go ahead.
No, do it, because then I've got a question for everybody after that.
Caitlin Clark, unanimous rookie of the year, but had a worst day on the court. 11 points, 4 of 17 shooting, and her Fever took a 93-69 thumping in game one in Connecticut.
Yeah, that was rough. And Perloff and I have a bet that actually would benefit everybody in this room.
Right, we're all winners. The rest of us are all winners.
Right, you guys are, because either way, one of us has to buy breakfast tomorrow. But do we have any idea what the rating was for Caitlin's game? Because Perloff said it would be over 2 million. I said under because they're going up against the NFL. And it was a blowout.
Yeah, the blowout is not going to help the overall rating.
Yeah, how's that work? Like, do I get the peak rating?
They'll tell us the peak rating, which might be the number that you want. But the overall rating is probably going to be worse because people definitely turn that game because it was never close.
Jeez.
I didn't do my part.
I'm getting everything.
I had three screens going yesterday. I didn't turn that game on once. I'm like, because I remembered, I get breakfast no matter what. So I don't need to affect the bottom line here. So let's go football.
I'm getting smoked salmon. I don't even like it.
Yeah.
I'm just ordering it. No, I'm not going to do a victory lap yet. You could possibly win this one.
I mean, she had most games, she gets over 1 million. So I thought playoff game over 2 million. This bet is not done. That was on ABC.
Yeah, my brother agrees with you, by the way. I was just randomly talking about it. He's like, oh, I think they're going to get 2 million. That's not that big a number.
Yeah, for her, that's not a big number at all.
Yeah,
I mean, the blowout hurts.
Wasn't good.
Yeah, I know, but
sorry, it's her first
play. To know it's not good, you have to turn it to the game.
Yeah, there's no other way to know whether a game's in bed.
If I was you, I would take solace. If the peak viewership is over 2 million, I would take solace in you being right. Even though in the end you might be wrong because the full game number might be lower than the 2 mil. But if it got to 2 mil early in the game, if they say from 3 to 3:30 there were 2.4 million people watching, then you were kind of right. You were half right because they would have stuck if the game was better.
I have no idea when they say the ratings were this, what they mean.
But also, we never said peak rating when
I know.
Made the bet.
You know, I'm trying to ease the fall for Perloff here. That he might have been on his way to being correct, but then the game didn't do him a favor.
We'll see. I actually am not. You guys seem so positive that I lost this bet. I'm not totally sure.
I'm not positive, but
I'm less positive than I was Friday.
Yeah, the fact that it was a blowout makes me concerned for your sake. Again, like Bogus said, I'm getting a bacon, egg, and cheese with hot sauce. Either way.
No. Steak and eggs.
That's a little heavy for...
Doesn't matter.
If Maggie loses, need to eat guys,
it. Just run up Perloff's bill.
By the way, if you guys are going to do the same energy if Maggie loses the bet.
PB&J.
English muffin with butter.
Yeah.
Barely get to the delivery fee. All right, I think that's where we have to leave it. Bogus, thank you so much. See you guys on the phones. Want to talk about the Saints being dirty. You want to talk about everything else from yesterday. We have lots more to do, including... a major mistake that was made yesterday, and it could have major ripple effects throughout the season. We'll get to that. Lots to do on this Monday. Glad to have you. It's Maggie Perloff. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Week 3. Whoa. Doozy. Get to the phones. Talking about Perloff's Philadelphia Eagles. Rebound from what was a very tough loss last week on Monday Night Football. But the Saints kind of... not that they no-showed this game, but the offense just disappeared, and they had some major headshots to boot. D's in Portland wants to talk about it. You thought there were a couple dirty plays from the Saints, D?
Yeah, that hit that Devontae Smith got, that was dirty. He was already getting wrapped up by two players, then that third one comes from the back. And on top of that, he was on the ground, then he gets spit on. That's BS. And then the other one where that, I can't remember the player, but he's getting dragged all the way at the end, and then all the way at the bench. They're just a bunch of dirty players, front runners. You can tell during the whole game, they're trying to run it. When they couldn't run, you make Derek try to pass. He can't make those passes. Also, Jalen Hurts,
gotta make better decisions.
Yeah. He was not good yesterday.
Turnovers, come on, man.
Yeah.
No. I will not say. Yes, I agree. The Saints are totally dirty. Like, I would have fought the whole team after that Devontae Smith catch. But Jalen Hurts was good. Jalen Hurts had a good game.
I didn't. D, thank you so much for the phone call.
Oh my God, he pulled that game out of his. You know what? He was.
Yeah, but he almost handed the game away, yeah, too. This was a game that didn't have a lot of scoring in.
Well, that was all the turnovers were in the first. I think they were in the first half, and you never felt for a second that he didn't have control of the game. Like, I was texting my friend. I'm like, oh, the Eagles are winning this game because the Saints. I don't know. They just like. The Eagles just kept giving away points, basically. They get down into the Saints territory and give it away. I thought Hurts played well. If you could get that game from Hurts every day, I'm taking it.
I mean, the interception, the fumble.
Yeah, that interception
was stupid.
Was it stupid? I mean, if Devontae Smith was strong enough to stand up, it went right to him. He just fell. That was definitely, PFF would not have hit Hurts with that interception. I didn't blame him for that. And yeah, Jalen Hurts and all these, like he makes a lot of plays by holding the ball. He's going to fumble occasionally. I really thought he had overall a really good game. Made a lot of plays. A lot of first downs.
Yeah, I didn't walk away being super impressed with Hurts. I mean, obviously the fourth quarter where you score 15 fourth quarter points and it was really Saquon and then you had that big play to Dallas Goedert. That was massive.
I mean, he had no Smith and no A.J. Brown through for 300 yards. I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure what you guys want out of Jalen Hurts. I know E.J. wants fantasy points. You're not getting that.
Yeah, I'm learning that the hard way, unfortunately, Hurts. Please stop turning the ball over.
we'll make sure to get that right to him. Kevin is in Oregon, has a thought on yesterday's game. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning. You know, you guys were talking about Tom Brady. It's hard for me to believe that Fox replaced Greg Olsen with Tom Brady. I mean, they should have given Tom Brady some non-marquee games because Greg Olsen is so good at doing his color commentary. The other thing is, how about those Seattle Seahawks? They played terribly yesterday and still won. Who was that they were playing, Miami of Ohio?
Well, I mean, when you knock the backup quarterback out of the game, Kevin, you should win that one. Yeah. And I actually thought it was interesting that Seattle really couldn't run up the score on Miami.
Yeah.
They scored late to make it a little bit more of a margin. But that game was 17-3, I felt like, for 48 minutes of the game.
It felt like it was a blowout that never happened.
Yeah.
It was really terrible. I mean, you know, I'm looking at some of these teams that did well early, Seattle, Tampa Bay, New Orleans. I mean, did we really expect that those teams were going to – this was going to last, that these teams were going to be playoff contenders? I just don't think so.
Well, at least Seattle went to 3-0. I mean, you caught – and, Kevin, thank you for the call. You caught a Dolphins team that's reeling. I mean, Skylar Thompson leaves the game. They're saying it's, what, a rib? Fractured rib, sure looked like a concussion or something like that, but
I didn't even think about
injury.
That. So Seattle's been early Bo Nix, then they beat Bryce Young, and now Skylar Thompson / Tim Boyle. It's hard to determine what that 3-0 means.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you're encouraged a bit by the defense. Yeah, why not?
There was one play. There's my favorite player, maybe, is DK Metcalf. Yeah. He caught this sort of half bomb pass, and he was right. He was even with the cornerbacks. They were about to catch him. Then he put on the rocket fuel. He is spectacular. And Zach Charbonnet is pretty cool, too.
I have the Seahawks winning the NFC West, so I'm sure hoping that this is not fool's gold.
I mean, they have every chance right now.
The other thing, why did Fox replace Greg Olsen with Tom Brady?
Well, I mean, star power.
Yeah, I mean, that's just TV executive 101-ing right there.
Yeah, I mean... This, I think, ultimately, if Tom Brady, even if he's bad, he's going to get more eyeballs than Greg Olsen.
Yeah, I don't think the announcers really impact the ratings, but right now they'll take Tom Brady being terrible over the best Greg Olsen game because TV network executives love stars. Okay, coming up, we get to the Cowboys. Woof.